Welcome back. If I sung as if I'm out of breath, I was running back into the studio. Dr. Brass Stacks, you're on the air.
Don't be out of breath, because I still on the line.
Yes, dear.
Diane.
Yes, my dear.
How come that you tell in a polyclinic, and you do for surgery, and then you get to the hospital and tell you your nuts is not there? Somebody should be able to give an account, because when that thing go down in your nose, it don't be easy, you know, something. It's got your head swinging, like, it would go off. And I mean to say, I hear my prime minister say, you got to hold off. Yes, I agree. But you shouldn't be trying to wear my nose. How you working?
This is where?
At the polyclinic.
Polyclinic. They can find your notes?
They can't find it. Even when you get to the hospital, your notes ain't come down.
I often wonder why that happens.
I mean, it's a lot of pressure, yes, from the nurses. I ain't troubling the nurses' business, because they got to know. I ain't getting about nothing to tell them. But the thing is about it, you should send my notes where they belong. Because you got me hold up. Yes, I got the way. I don't know where my daughter will tell me whether I'm ready for you. When you get there and you don't got the note, you at square one. You understand, Joanne?
No, I'm fully with you. I remember a couple of years ago, I had to have a surgery and they couldn't find my notes. And just as I was about to be anesthetized, or they were debating whether or not they should put me to sleep, someone came and jotted the notes in the back of the bed and said, we found them.
The thing is that got me. I can't understand what's really going on in the health service. Because, yes, you got to wait. Yes, you agree, you got to wait, because a lot of ups and downs in there. You got to be reasonable with people. But when it coming to me, my notes should be where I'm supposed to be. Because they can put me to sleep. And they can't find them. And next thing, all of we got accounts where the money should go. The postman is but human being, and you can't pressure them. As we got the money coming down on the 17th, we got to wait. The people coming back on the 18th. Nobody don't count the postman. And I want you to have a good day, and I want the Minister of Labour to come and tell the public something. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you, my dear. Thank you so much for calling. Just want to mention something here about the vaccines and food for thought, that even though some of us may not want to take it, and that is your right, let us be clear, from what I understand, the vaccines are not mandatory, it's your choice. I made a choice that I'm going to take the vaccine, but I also have to investigate a little bit more when it comes to my daughter, and to see if it's going to work for her in the way we would like it to. And that goes for everybody. You have your concerns. But one of the things I was observing, that what if the vaccine becomes mandatory for travel? So it may not be mandatory here, but you also have to think about if other countries, as they did with other vaccines, yellow fever and other things over the years, it's mandatory for other people, for other countries, for when you enter their country, especially if the country is at high risk, they advise you to come with a vaccine. So we don't know if moving forward, and this vaccine works, if other countries may say, you need to get a certificate, you need to show proof of your COVID vaccine in order for you to enter a country. So food for thought, just putting that out there. Brass Stacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you, Mrs.?
I am good. How are you?
I'm good. This is Mohammed Nasser.
Yes, Mr. Mohammed.
First, I'm glad to hear you, but it's nice to be talking to you again today. I haven't spoken to you for a little while.
Yes, sir. Likewise.
I really call in to discuss this nurses and the police problem. I believe, and I think it's time enough that we accept, that without the nurses, the police, the judges, and the magistrates, we will have bare chaos in this country. I don't know if you agree with that. But I'm sure it is. I believe that the nurses are not well treated. I'm real old, so I remember when I used to be in hospital almost every week with a toenail lick out. Because no, they're not the good rules that they have now. So I used to be running about the place and toenail burst lick out all the time. And the nurse either assisting with the taking it out or assisting with the healing. I've been to spending time in the Queen's Hospital and be treated like if I was a king or something like that. My feeling is that the system, the governments of the day, including all that I know about before, do not pay enough attention to police and nurses. Their facilities that they live in, it's a good thing that now they have some of them have cars and could go home. no privacy at all. I believe proper facilities should be built that when these nurses are on break, that can actually go, have a relax, have a proper drink or something to snap on if they want to. Mm-hmm. And I believe the same thing should happen to the police. People do not understand that if you take the nurses and the police out the system, that the country collapses instantly. We must not believe that no government can pass laws, but they don't enforce them. Mm-hmm. So the quicker we get all people to understand that we should pay more attention and give the highest honor and respect to the police and the nurses, mm-hmm. the judges and magistrates in this country, the quicker we are going to get a better country. So I want to say two little things here. Mm-hmm. And the first one is simple. What counts is not the number of hours you put in, but how much you put in the hours. Now, you know that the nurses has put a hell of a lot in the hours. And then it goes on. Therefore, be careful how you walk, as not unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Anyone in Barbados who attack nurses in Barbados or the police in Barbados or the magistrate or judge in Barbados will have to be evil because they do not do anything but try their best to keep us alive. Now, you can attack politicians, but not nurses, police, and magistrates, and judges. Now, that is one. Two, this idea about trying to drive fear into people because you could threaten them that you could not get them a job, you could threaten them that you would tell somebody not to help them, you could tell somebody to send them home. That foolishness must also stop. The Lord, in Hebrews 13:6, I read it yesterday and read it again. The Lord is our shepherd, but the Bible says the Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Miss Hayes, I want you to understand that no matter what anybody say about you, and I know you, I think you're strong enough. You are a Mr. Johnson. They will not
might be stronger.
But if you're stronger, Mr. Johnson, let me tell you something. You're the highest quality steel that made. But what I'm concerned about in a society like ours, mm-hmm. you said something that caused me to call this program more than anything else. I just said, although I had to say what I have said, because it's time that we stop the foolishness in this country. The protectors of this country must not be treated like average people. They should be specially treated, licking down buildings and building a lot of big, unnecessary buildings and doing things that not necessary just for sure throughout the years of these governments. It's not the answer. The answer is to make sure that you first facilitate the protectors of the state and make sure that they are comfortable 100%. Mm-hmm. I said this because I hear you said something. Someone said something. Oh, yeah. I think I got it. It got my mind, but we'll come back just now as I talk to you. Mm-hmm. Now, I want Barbara and Peter to understand that all of a sudden, everything that they're saying, and Miss Hayes, you are here, you are no born. Mm-hmm. All the things that this man has been saying over the years are not being said. I hear a guy yesterday on the radio talking about agriculture and manufacturing. I've been saying this for 40 years, more than 40 years, from the time Tom Adams took over the government of this country. I work over that something went wrong. The problem is never to be afraid to stick to what you think is right, because there are people who, and there's a fact, there are people who just call me and say, look, Nasser, I like what you say, but you should not say it that way. I don't get vexed with them because I understand that they are intelligent people. They're not fools to call and tell me that. So if I say something, but they can't deny that it's true. The point I want to make is this. This country cannot tell me, and this is why I want to say that you said that I think was a little error.
Okay.
That once a doctor says that something is good, it is good. In relation to these viruses, I mean, mm-hmm. related to these the vaccines. Mm-hmm. The doctors in Barbados and the doctors in the world don't know if the vaccine can work or not. Mm-hmm.
But hold on.
Yeah.
Let's stick a pin. I said, when we want legal advice, we go to lawyers. If we want
Correct.
Spiritual, we go to pastors. If we want medical advice, we go to doctors.
Correct.
All doctors, well, the doctors I heard admitted, and including the ones we read about in the different journals, that this situation with the vaccine, even though it has passed the trials, they're still learning more and more. If your doctor, and I said things like, I don't know, you have diabetes and he recommends your insulin and so on, we normally take it and we thank him very much for diagnosing us in the correct way, and we go along our way and we get our medication. Correct?
What I'm saying is it is new,
and we are still, everybody's still navigating the way, including in particularly the medical fraternity. However, they have more knowledge than we do, but they still admitted that they don't have all of the answers. So if my doctor said to me, Joy, you have X, Y, and Z, I believe that you are a candidate for this vaccine and you really need to consider. Now, note, the doctor can't make me do nothing. There's no, nobody can make you take, do have surgery, make you take medicine, nothing. It is your choice. Even when he diagnosed you and you go back, you could decide, you know what? I'm going to go in the backyard and I'm going to look for some bush and I ain't doing that there. You have that choice. But the doctor, I'm saying, is the best person to advise you. The choice is still yours. He or she would be more equipped with the information about the benefits or the advantages and the side effects and all these type of things on the vaccine. And it would be wise if we have that conversation with our doctors as well as our families, yes. But that's all I was indicating. I never said the doctor's word is... I just said that we normally listen to them.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we don't listen to the doctors. I am saying that in this particular vaccine, that the doctors have no knowledge of that vaccine.
You can't say they don't have any knowledge at all.
Because none of them could come and tell me what they know about the vaccine. They're all going through the same thing that me and you got to go through. We take it or we don't take it. It works or it don't
work. But listen, do you know that everything, even including the medicine that people recommend, your body can reject? Out of a million people, you may be the only body, for example, that can't take insulin, for example. You know what I mean? So nothing, but what are we looking for? Tell me what we're looking for. 100%, this is what it is. Is there any medication out there that is 100% efficacy?
No, we're looking for this. That in today's world, that I could read everything that the doctor read about the vaccine, because the doctor don't make the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
So you, and let me get straight, you can go and read everything about that vaccine now. The doctors do everything. The doctors are medical health people, and they might be able to do a whole, not might be, they'll be able to do a whole test on me and tell me, listen, sir, I don't think this vaccine is good, but based on your conditions, I don't think you should use it, or you should use
all
it.
All they could do is recommend?
Right now, yeah, but it's more recommended. People put faith in the doctors. There has not been a doctor in my life yet that I didn't put faith in. But that don't mean that because they put faith and confidence that he could just tell me anything.
Nasser, then you're not listening. I said to you, he can only make a recommendation. In most cases, when we go to a doctor for the stump toe you're talking about, you could have either gone home and get some bush and wrap it, or you could have taken or get the tetanus shot, depending if you get
an ilja. No, that's putting it too simple.
No, it's the same principle. You go to a doctor because you want to know what's wrong. You then want to feel better.
I hope that they can tell me what is wrong.
But that's the same thing. It's just that they may have more knowledge over the stump toe because they dealt with 10,000 of them in a year. And they recognize that based on the information they have, that the BNT powder may work. But this one, on the other hand, they can only go based on the science from the World Health Organization. And this is the only thing we have. Dear God, yeah. NASA, if this is all we have and the alternative is something different, taking this, if they're saying it's not going to kill you, but not taking it possibly can, because those of us who have these NCDs are more at risk, what then would you, I'm not telling you the answer, I'm just speaking general. Then you just have to kind of weigh the pros and the cons for yourself.
Listen what I'm saying to you. I am saying to you, and let me repeat this again. When I was 20 years old, I was a cripple, and Dr. Kettle, after all the experts, and there were good doctors that used to decode it, I could afford any kind of doctor I want. they used to be discussing whether if the juke knees and my knees up, I'd be able to walk again. They used to be worried about that. Brilliant doctors. And then I went to Dr. Kell after my knees keep staying big. And Dr. Kell brought these tubes and this bottle and so. That's the late Dr. Kell, a brilliant doctor he was. I asked this young man, what are you going to do with this? He said, I'm going to drink these knees in your feet and get this fluid out so you can walk. I said, not you. He said, why not? I said, well, I got experts, the doctors, I'm the best in the country dealing with me. And they said, no, that's me a cripple. You know, doctor, what the doctor said to me? Dr. Kell, Gary, get up and walk. I said, doc, you know I can't walk. He said, so you're not a cripple? He said, so what are you worrying about? You can't be a cripple twice. And they tell him to jerk the nails in my feet, and he was right. What I'm saying is, these are all, and doctors, he tell me he learned in the bush in India, so he know what we talking about. And he was right. What I'm saying is that because you go to a doctor, and a doctor give you advice, it's not, you go, yes, go, one, but if you feel that what he's saying don't make sense, you should get another opinion.
Nasser, but I am not disputing what. There are people who go for two and three different opinions.
And they should, if they could afford it.
Listen, of course, when they diagnosed my daughter, would say that she's presenting signs with Down syndrome, and they're calling one doctor. And I went to three because I could not believe. So I'm saying, I am not saying, but the point is, I still had to listen. I had to educate myself. I had to take information from my doctors to see what does this mean for me? Is it only a mental disability? No, Joy. This can happen. High incidence of heart disease, of heart problems. It turned out to be that. There's a high incidence of leukemia, which can happen to children with Down syndrome. All these different things. And because I was not about to go in the bush and just do all of the bush type of things, sometimes it's wise, and this is my choice, to marry traditional, the medicine with the natural. And if the two don't collide, then of course you would want to. But yes, you go by your instinct. Sometimes you go like I don't know what this man, ain't know what he's doing, you know, or this doctor, ain't know what he's doing. I believe some of us have had that experience already.
Right, I never met a doctor yet that I don't believe they know what they're doing. I know they know what they're doing. But what I'm trying to explain to you is that they do not make medication. They're administering medication. So they have to read upon it.
Okay, so would you then take the word of a pharmacist?
Right, a pharmacist know more about medication than the doctor.
Well, no, that's what I'm asking you. Would you then take more of the word of a pharmacist? Should we have pharmacists coming out, though, and talking about the ingredients in this vaccine and how it would respond to other medications? Would that be something?
Why not?
I agree. It's something that we should probably do. We can talk to our pharmacists as well. By the way, every time I get medication, or for something, or for my daughter, I go to my pharmacist and I said, listen, I took two Panadols this morning. I could take this. I don't call the doctor and ask him. I ask my pharmacist.
But he knows more about the medication.
We ain't disputing that neither.
And let me tell you something quick before I go.
Mm-hmm.
A doctor in Barbados, remember, you know, I've got the slightest feeling they're going straight to my doctor there. There's no question there. I ain't a second talk about that, but because I go to the doctor and he tell me things that don't make sense to me, don't think they're going to accept them. I can analyze them. What I am saying, a doctor in Barbados one time prescribed 6 or 8 tablets for a guy. Then he went to the pharmacist to get the prescription. And the pharmacist told him, you cannot have that amount because the maximum is 6, let me say that. And the guy said, the doctor tell me you can have it. The guy called the doctor. The pharmacist asked the doctor, you realize that you gave this man 8, but the maximum to use is 6. So the doctor said to the pharmacist, no, I am Dr. So-and-so. I said, give him 8. He said, no problem. He sent back a letter by the guy to the doctor and tell the doctor, sign the letter that you agree to 8. Even though he got a prescription, you know, the doctor sent back a letter and agreed to give him 6. So because the guy is a doctor, don't mean they can't be challenged. He's a doctor.
We are not, and for the public record, we are not disputing that. I believe that we all question at some point. We may not feel comfortable sometimes with a diagnosis. We get a second opinion. But right. when it boils down to it, who do we call in Ghostbusters is the doctor whenever we are sick and we need help.
If you get in the hospital, if you nurse to come in to take care of you. So there's not a problem. The problem I'm saying is this, that we have to be careful telling people want the doctor say so, it is so.
But who told people that?
But technically, I believe that we were telling people.
No, you see, again, interpretation of all I said is if you want spiritual advice, people have a tendency to go to a pastor. If they want legal advice, to go to a lawyer. So if they want medical advice, to go to a doctor. And you can't then just say, well, that is what I said when I didn't say it. Again, it is the interpretation of what people say. People pause a little bit, think about what people say, then respond. And I say that only to you and others. I say it to myself because sometimes I just jump off a little bit too. And I go, oh, shoot, that's not what the person said. Am I listening to understand or am I listening to respond?